Danielle.
Hello, Kissy Rose.
Danielle Caroline, it's so nice to be back with you doing the podcast. You know, we've been flitting about, traveling. You've been writing for the Oscars. We haven't been together in a while.
No, we really haven't. It's nice to touch down together. We have, though, been traveling together, which was nice.
We sure have. We really, you know, like, I'm starting to feel guilty. Yeah, sometimes we do things like, one time I talked to a couple of mom friends and they're like, oh, I just need to do something for myself. And like, God, if I could just get away. And I sit there in my head, I'm like, I feel like I'm doing too much for myself. we are in a celebration of life phase. And I only mean that to say, like, so much darkness. And then we're sort of also coming out of the pandemic. There's just been a need for me personally to
celebrate.
Do mushrooms, have 10,000 spicy margaritas, go to gay clubs, dance my fucking head off. Just things that, you know, with two little ones at home, you're not always doing.
So as we said on the podcast last week, or as Matt McConkie and I were saying we were about to do, we went to Miami Beach for Miami Beach Pride. We were invited, and I don't think they thought we would come, but we could not help
ourselves. We were invited with a form letter, and I said, I'll be there. We'll all be there.
We said, and I think they were shocked. I think Patrick was like, oh, okay.
We went to Pride. I've honestly haven't had that much fun in a really long time. You know, we got off to a tougher start, given the way I chose
to separate yourself from the group. We went as a group. It was Casey and I.
If you're looking for me to be relatable and for this to be grounded, please skip forward 1 minute.
You're not going to find it here.
Skip forward.
And look, we all have to accept who we are in this life and not judge. And this is who we are. And I think that's fine. I have no judgment about it.
I'm actually okay if you all are judging me. I know you are. And I am at peace with that. And I think that's also growth.
That is gross.
And this is going to be a tougher story to tell.
It was our dear friends Kulop and June and Matt McConkie and
Juliet Levy, dear
Casey
friend.
And I, Juliet Levy, and who has become such a good friend. Love
dream.
Her. My sister Abby joined us at one point. It was a bunch of us.
But, you know, traveling outbound from LA to Miami was just you, me, Kulop, and Matt. And so you would think, like, how do we all get to Miami together? Because we're on the same flight. Well, we go to the airport and we wait in the gate. As you do. Yeah. What other way is
As
there?
You do. No other way. Or so we think.
It's honestly, it's too much.
Is it?
Yeah.
You keep saying that and yet.
Well, I kept saying this is so hard for me to tell you guys. And Kulop kept saying it doesn't seem like that hard for you.
It didn't seem hard. And you really waited until we were there. We're in the airport.
Yeah.
I'm in seating section 7, which
boarding,
means I'm the 7th group, boarding section 7. I'm the 7th group to get on the plane, and that's pretty far down. And I had even purchased extra legroom, which, you know, I've been known to do in these times.
Or not do. And, you know, so honestly, I'm having trouble finding the words to say this.
You just say it, rip the Band-Aid off.
Okay.
So Casey doesn't tell us until, so we're all going, where's Casey?
Like boarding in 25 minutes, you know, where's Casey? Now, I always am late to board, so I'm sure you were like,
No, it didn't happen until I was like, because usually you're like, I'm at a magazine stand like 5 minutes before, and I didn't get that text.
No, and I couldn't bear to put June on this one because, you know, she wasn't there. She was already in Miami, so I'm like, I'm just going to keep it to the like LA crew, you know. I said, guys, it's so hard to say this, but I will not be boarding with you all, but I will be on the plane. So that's also kind of a riddle, you know? It's like a riddle wrapped in an enigma and cash.
And cash, yeah.
And speaking of cash, you know, again, I will die penniless. I throw money to the winds and I say to myself, it's all coming back to me. Now, sometimes that's been true.
And it
sometimes
has.
That's been true, Danielle, but sometimes it's genuinely not been true. I have a problem. A friend of mine took me on an experience, something called PSLAX. Now, the PS is that, PS, you're not at the airport. You're, in fact, in a gorgeous Soho House-like club lounge salon area somewhere on the tarmac, unaffiliated with LAX. Okay. There's a gate. You give your name. You open it. You pay to become a member. Again, I know this isn't relatable. And I honestly have never really said I am. I think I try to be like, oh, I'm
You've
grounded.
Never said you, we don't have to be relatable.
Okay, I'm just like this. I'm just telling my truth here, okay?
Look, you don't have to be relatable. These are our stories.
You know, these are our stories. These are the days of our lives, okay? So, you know, I joined this service where you pay a yearly, like a flat fee, and then you do pay a la carte each time you want to use the service. And I did choose to use it again when, as June said, she thought the point of the trip was like that we all were together. And I said, that wasn't the point of the trip for me. Like, that might have been the point for you. For me, meanwhile, the point was like, I'm leaving my kids with my husband for like a gals-ish weekend. Like, I actually want to be away from everyone and alone. And so instead of going to the airport, I went to a bar where I was offered. This part's hard. It doesn't come tripplingly off the tongue. You know, you walk in and then my kind of concierge Denise offered caviar, champagne, you know, but I chose a kale salad because I'm like, I don't need that. You know, I'm not crazy.
Okay.
So then you wait, you know, and then the concierge is in touch. And this is so hard to say too. And people are probably going to riot, but with the flight attendants. Now you would think in your head, like, aren't the flight attendants pretty busy?
Don't they have more pressing matters? They got to get a plane in the air. They're part of the crew.
Well, they also got to get me on it, you know? It's like, I'm part of things too over here, you know?
Meanwhile, I will tell you what's going on the other side. Just to give you perspective, I have not found a seat in the airport. They are all taken. Just in the airport waiting area. So I'm sitting on the floor at some point with my tough bagel that I've waited for in a line at an airport Starbucks for 45 minutes to get one tough
bagel. I didn't know that.
So that's just, those are the, we're just comparing. Those,
them's the facts,
compare
Jack.
And contrast, yes.
Okay, so then, you know, all of a sudden I'm texting with you guys and everyone's in a bit of disbelief and, you know, I just knew I couldn't tell you earlier. I had to tell you right before. No, and Kulop's
really
like,
waited.
Well, you know, the flight's delayed by 40 minutes. And I'm like, guys, okay, Denise would have told me that. Now, Denise didn't know that. And what we came to understand is like, as Kulop said, you guys are like on the front lines, you know, like the soldiers that get word back to the queen takes longer.
Yes, we said we are the disposable people or berserkers who were in... Jessica St. Clair told me about berserkers who like in like Viking times, they would go in first because they were so crazy that they could just handle anything coming at their way. Right. So we're the berserkers clearing the way for the others.
And meanwhile,
the
I'm
more
rounding up free magazines
souls.
And I'm like, Denise, you want to get on your job? And, you know, I didn't say that because I do think I'm a benevolent queen.
You are you giving to others. And I will say I'm a little upset because when you texted us a picture of the magazines that were given to you free.
And many videos of the bar.
Many videos of the bar and the magazine. I had just purchased some of those magazines myself. So to know that those were coming to you just willy-nilly when I had,
it would have been hard once I got on the plane to get those magazines to you.
Well, you couldn't have because we're not allowed to cross that first class. Steerage line.
Kulop said you guys were chattel.
We were. And I will say, can I just tell you, in the airline that we were on, American Airlines, they have decided to forgo snacks.
Not a nut.
Forgo snacks. We got four corn nuts in a bag. And I am not exaggerating when I tell you I got four corn nuts in a bag. So I didn't know that you couldn't buy snacks on the plane and that was on
and
us.
I'm so sorry about that. But at the same time, I think what's hard is like, you guys not getting food, it's like it wants to seem like it's my problem. Or like you know what I mean? Like it has that air, the way you guys were angrily.
We were angry at
you about the food.
Because we didn't have food and you were up in first class and you
and screaming text to me, did you? Do you have TVs up there? And we didn't. And what I told Matt after is like, look, I didn't eat either. By choice.
But that was your choice.
Okay. Which I know is hard. Let me just tell, I feel like what I love about you guys, and I really did feel this in my soul, is I feel we are so close and you know I'm a piece of shit. And so but I hope you also know me to be a generous person. I guess not generous, that generous with another slot.
No,
at PSLAS.
I will say this about this, and I don't think our listeners need it. You are a very generous person.
No, I'm not trying to walk you into that, but I'm just saying I actually feel like we're so close. I can just live my truth. We were laughing so hard, we were crying, because then I had to get to the plane. Now, how does one do that, Danielle?
Well, if you're like me, you wait on a long line for seven other sections to go before you.
And it was pretty hot.
And you pray, you hope, you pray. You pray to the God above.
That your bag doesn't go to like baggage claim.
That your bag, that you can get that last space for your bag. And because you're in section seven, it might not go. This is how you get to the plane. How do you get to the plane, Casey?
So I go through a security system that can only be described as more scant. You know, it's kind of like a trellis, you know, that you kind of wander through. I am then escorted onto the farthest reaches of the tarmac. Now, I didn't know the airport tarmac was this wide. I really didn't. You know, we're out there. I'm seeing like FedEx
trucks. We're on the inside. Yeah.
A lot of different things. And, you know, I've got my Goop products that they give out.
You're getting Goop products?
Well, I did. And then I get into an SUV, a waiting SUV. And again, I'm not a dignitary. I'm not even a celebrity.
Yeah.
I have taken a spokesperson job that you'll all be hearing about that I can't disclose at this time. And you'll be like, wow, okay. We see the trades
the
you're making.
For PSLAX. This is the reason for PSLAX.
We see the trades you're making and we're not sure who's guiding you. But now I'm on the tarmac. I'm in an SUV, you know, and it was really nice. It's like, do you want music? You know, do you want Diet Cokes? Do you want, you know?
And still offering
you products.
Now, I will
say it was a longer ride than I would have thought or liked, because it definitely took us like 8 minutes. And
how dare
so we're driving to the plane. And when I say to the plane, I mean the car basically parallel parks under the wing.
No!
You get out. Now, to see your plane like that, like you're not seeing the plane like that, you know? To see its majesty just sort of towering above. Now, at that point, my beautiful driver gets out. She then carries my bag up the little steps. And if you're wondering where I'm entering the plane, it's where you would like wait for your strollers. You know, that little like door.
Yes, yeah. I've been there. Or where they take your luggage when it can't fit on the plane.
That's right.
When they're saying like there's not enough room for your luggage. I've seen them cart my luggage off into like the abyss.
That's right.
But I don't know where it's going. That's the same hole with which you enter.
And then my driver gets some type of notification, I think on a walkie-talkie, and she says, it's time. Now, at that point, the door is open for us, and I somewhat seamlessly simply step one step, and I'm in front of the door of the plane. And then when I got to my seat, you know, a woman was sitting on my seat and I had to move her. And it's like, where's Denise for that? You know,
Where's Denise when you need her? I feel Denise fancy.
Well, it's like, just get me from here to there. Like you're getting me here to almost
but
there.
But she didn't tell you it was delayed when she needed to. And she had someone sitting in your
so
seat.
So now here I am. And what really was hard for all of us to bear is that then you guys came on.
Yeah, we did.
So to see me somehow be there first. I can't even describe it. Again, I know this isn't painting me in a favorable light. It just, we really were crying with laughter over that.
To see you sitting there, I simply screamed for everyone to hear, boo!
Yeah.
Boo!
Matt pointed and said, for shame! For shame! Shame on you!
And I said, I just simply also shouted at you, faker! Liar!
That was hard, you know. But honestly, again, I, you know, sticks and stones, you know. So that was our entry.
Don't break your bones. You know what breaks your bones? What? No food. Because your bones break down from not eating. That's what breaks.
I'm so sorry about that.
That's what breaks your bones.
I'm so sorry about that. But, you know, we went to Miami. We had a gorgeous night at a nightclub, Twist. We went to the Versace mansion. We had a beautiful table. You know, people are now eating a restaurant in the Versace mansion. It's hard to take selfies like where a man has been slain. But we did move through that pretty gracefully.
They did turn it into sort of a Disneyland, which was a tough look on the Versace mansion, but at expensive in the way that Disneyland is as well. And we're all sitting there taking photographs where this poor man was, like you said, murdered terribly. And so that was a dark thought. But I will say a light thought was Twist nightclub. We had the time of our lives there.
The time of my fucking dancing life.
And joy. And, you know, as you said, Casey, and I do think it's true, standing on the dance floor, listening to Whitney Houston sing, I want to dance with somebody. And I just, it was the time of
my life. During this motherfucking piece of shit and what's going on in Florida. To look around at the most gorgeous people and humanity and dancing and fucking, I mean, we were drenched in sweat. It was life affirming.
And I will also say the love everybody showed each other. Like, we were all strangers in the night. Mm-hmm. You know, we really were.
It's like some of us were at PSLAX and some of us weren't. You know, we were just like all thrown together.
But we were all thrown together, and the love in that crowd of people, of humanity towards humanity. We've seen some of the worst of humanity in the last few years. But I will say, if you want to find the best of humanity, there's so much in the gay.
You go to a gay club at the end of the day.
In the gay community, in the queer community. Yeah. It was just a wonderful, wonderful
night. To all scream, sing Easy on Me by Adele, which had been put to a club beat. Thank you, whoever did that. Yes. Such a dream. We were in this kind of like little area, and there was a guy that we met, and I said to him, it was like really tight packed, you know, and I was like, oh, don't worry, we're going to leave soon. You'll have more space. He turns to me, points his finger in my face, and he goes, don't you end this night before it begins. Pearls, life lessons. Then later at the end of the night, we'd had so much fun with him and his friends, and I said, okay, now we really are leaving and you can have the space. And he goes, look, he goes, yes, I can fill the space with people, but I can never replace your energy. About our friend group, it was just like a magical night. I'm like, it was just so much fun. We also listened to this cabaret singer, Victor Valdez, who was,
incredible.
At Pride, he sang a rendition of Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Elton John. I've never heard that song before the way I heard it.
And he also sang Defying Gravity.
Yes, he did.
Beautifully. I mean, it was just such a wonderful celebration. I'm so grateful to Patrick who invited us to Miami Beach Pride. It was the time of our lives, and the people were so beautiful and welcoming.
It was just so fucking fun.
Yeah, it was really nice. So thank you.
Danielle, before we take a quick break, we actually don't have a ton of housewives stuff. So this episode, we're going to get into the cities that you know, aired this week. Yeah. But also, tomorrow we are releasing kind of a bonus episode in which we interviewed, and you know we don't like to interview a lot of housewives, but we did interview Leah McSweeney. So that episode is going to go up tomorrow. So it's kind of a two-parter week for us. But before we take a break, Danielle, there is a piece of literature that has come out that I just have to recommend. I just posted about it on Instagram. I cannot. And I know we've recommended so many things on here, but I cannot recommend it enough. I'm going to cry. It's Molly Shannon's new book. It's called Hello, Molly. And God damn it, there has never been a human on earth who has been through more in her childhood and yet persisted in the most optimistic, grateful fashion. I mean, you heard her on Fresh Air.
Yes, I haven't read the book yet because it's coming in the mail, but I just listened to her on Fresh Air, and I've always been such a fan of hers, but her life story, the tragedy that she met with and her family met with, and then the joy that come from it and her zest for life and her joy at just simply being alive is contagious. And it makes you, I mean, I sat on the treadmill, as I do, I stood on the treadmill and listened to this episode of Fresh Air with Molly Shannon and Thierry Gross, and I bawled my eyes out, and that with laughter and tears and all of it. Molly Shannon is a beautiful human being.
She's, and I've known her over the years. She's so kind. She's so funny, obviously, you know, but this book, it has like wisdom in it that it's so unexpected the way it comes and her kind of take on life. And we all say like, oh, be grateful, you know, but sometimes it's hard to find gratitude. But the way she kind of has infused her life, it's so beautiful. I really want to read one of the last lines in it because I just think this is a gift for everyone. And she says, you know, and this is a woman who experienced the tragic loss of her mom and sister when she was young in a tragic accident. And she says, you know, she kind of demands that we see life as an extraordinary gift. And at the end of her book, she says, we are alive. There is nothing to be upset about. We are alive. It's so beautiful.
And And she's not just saying that. Like, she lives it. You know what I mean? Sometimes when there are these, like, you know, self-help and things that just feel like words, but she lives it in a way that is so deep and so profound, and you feel it when she says it, that I'm taken.
I couldn't stop crying.
She's such...
Yeah. There's nothing... We are alive, and...
But Casey Tellwit...
Oh my God. Okay. really quick. So Molly has kind of come into my life like an angel a few times over the years. And you know, we do have a lot in common. We lost our moms, and obviously Molly much younger than me. We were both on Saturday Night Live. We're both moms. And so when I was on SNL, I met Molly at a dinner. And when I tell you this woman listens, you know, she just like zeroed in on me. We talked about getting on the show and just the kind of trauma-ish, but mainly just like joy of that experience. And in her book, she talks about the joy of getting in, and it really reframed it for me. I'm like, wow, I have so much like shame surrounding that show. I'm like, that was really cool that I got on it. And anyway, she is like the type of person that's like immediately holding your hand when you're telling her, I was telling her about my mom died. You're like crying in her presence 2 seconds in, and she really like listens. And she gave me, God, so much great advice then. But then another time she was gracious enough to go to dinner with me, and you know, I was talking about how I post my kids on Instagram. And, you know, some people don't do that if they're like a little bit in the public eye or whatever. And I felt like a little judgment sometimes from friends or people about that. And she put it so well to me. And she was like, she held my hand and she's like, Casey, she goes, I post my kids all the time because she said, when you don't have your mom, you just want to show the world, like, look at them, like, look at them. I'm so proud of them. I want someone to see them. Like, that person's not here to celebrate them. And here they are. And I was like, oh, she just reframes things, you know, in such a beautiful
she
way.
She really does.
So sorry to be crying. So, but this is funny. 2 months.
No, I'm crying.
No, this is really funny. 2 months before Christmas, I ran into her at an event and we're chatting about motherhood. And Molly really is kind of first and foremost just obsessed with her kids. Amazing mom. That's her. And she talks about it in the book, her pride, her joy. And we're talking about like when the kids are young. And I said, God, you know, you're working and you're trying to be a parent and everything. And then she just said, you know, I want to pass along some words that Sharon Osbourne had told her, which is like when the kids are little. And she did that gesture where you like kind of grab onto something really hard with both hands. And she just said that Sharon Osbourne had told her, and she was telling me, you know, that classic lineage, Sharon to Molly to me.
To you.
That classic three gens.
That's how we all get our advice.
That's where it all comes from. But it was great advice. And Molly, just the way she said it, she goes, you know what? Every time you look at your kids and they're little, that time with them, she goes, you just grab it. And she was doing that with her hands, you know, like it's just so important to grab that time. I thought it was so beautiful. I tell David, so now it's Christmas, and David has a very beautiful ring made for me that my sister-in-law Shira's company made, the 10 plug. And but it was beautiful because they can make things with words on them.
Yes,
so it was a ring with gold, gorgeous gold lettering all around it. I look at the ring, and I take a picture for Molly because he's put that phrase on it for me. And I send the photo to Molly on Christmas morning. And I'm like, oh, my God, my husband got this for me. So that every time I look at it, I'm reminded, like, this time is so precious with my kids. And Molly writes back. I didn't even say that. I just said, look at the ring based on your phrase. And she writes back and she's like, it's such a beautiful ring. Now, just jog my memory from what was that phrase? And on the ring, I had misremembered the anecdote quite a bit. And I had remembered it and told David that Molly had said, snatch it. Instead of grab it, snatch it. Like, that's how I...
Which sometimes has a different meaning. You know, snatch has a different... Yeah.
And Dave said, even when he was making the ring, he was like, snatch it. Huh. Okay. You know, and then when I told her, we laughed so hard because it's like, okay, it was grab it. But like, this is the... She's so positive. She's like,
it's the intent.
It's the intent. And also maybe it's like about my waistline too. Like, just snatch it.
Or to like, you look snatched.
Yes. Like, it's a... It's it's optimistic in every single way.
It's a tough misunderstanding.
It's a tough thing to have on a ring, you know, snatch it.
Yeah, to get printed in 14 karat gold, yeah, to be wrong.
Yeah. But you know what? Every time I see it, I think of her. I think of my kids. So I, you know, snatch it to all of you guys in whatever way that means.
Snatch that grab and grab that snatch.
PSLEX available to you. No, that's not an ad. Although I will take any coupons.
Yeah, can you get like a discount?
Denise!
Get enough people to sign
Denise! The whole weekend we were just calling for Denise. Longest intro in history. I'm sorry I talk so much, Danielle.
I love everybody.
But get Molly's book, Hello Molly. Let's take a break.
We're back. I just want to promote something really quick.
Please.
We have a live from home show coming up, guys, with Beverly Hills just around the corner. We need to talk about it. That ad for the upcoming Beverly Hills show, we didn't get to talk about it on last week's podcast because it hadn't come out when we had recorded. But that ad, I watched it 3 times. I mean, the preview for next season. I mean, we are in for a fucking season.
We have a season. Oh. Erica's wearing an insane headdress Statue of Liberty.
She says, I don't give a shit about anybody but myself.
Like, Lisa's like, you're mixing antidepressants and alcohol, to which I was like, are we not supposed to do that?
And then Lisa with that shit-eating grin.
And then Kathy talking shit about Kyle. And then just this week, Erica's fucking throwing Garcelle's book in her trash.
Guys, we have a fucking season. So in order to celebrate that, we have to do a live from home show. We have to
talk about the day after.
So we are going to do another looped show, guys. Get ready. It's going to be May 12th.
Thursday.
That is Thursday. Yes. We are going to do it 5:30 Pacific Standard Time. It'll be 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. But remember, you can watch it for like
a week.
72 hours. Yeah, a long time afterwards. So if you can't make it that, you can still do it. We have some amazing guests with us. We have, you know, a fan favorite. And he really, like, he sort of touches down with the Beverly Hills ladies. We have Jerry O'Connell that's going to be with us, which is exciting.
And we have a housewife historian, Brian Moylan, kind of the OG housewife historian, Brian Moylan. And we have a couple special guests who are, let's just say, experts in this field. Go to looped.com. You can buy tickets right now. And this is a spring fling show the day after Beverly Hills premiere so that we can all have a safe space as a community to gather and process. We need this.
Yes, we need this. We need this. But let's get into New Jersey.
New Jersey. You know, not a lot was happening in this episode until, of course, so much happened. You know, I feel like Teresa's moving out of her house into Louie's house, which I actually thought was like so sweet the way Louie paid tribute to her parents when he chiseled those words. I don't know if it was chiseled, kind of a silk screen.
Look, I turned a corner on Louie and his son this week in a good way.
Yeah.
I liked meeting his son. I like that he seemed to have a good relationship with his son.
Easy on the old peepers.
I liked him kissing the daughter who I can't ever remember her name because...
Gabriella.
Sorry.
Again, I was like, that's so cute that a friend is helping them move. Oh, that's their daughter.
Yeah. It's so nice that the stranger's...
She was sitting on the piano bench and I'm like, their friend's not really doing much. Oh.
No, but nice for... But I love that he kissed her on the head. It felt real. It didn't feel uncomfortable in any way. It felt like she leaned into it, which, you know, because I feel like, you know, the child gives you the lead of like their comfort level. So I felt that they had a comfort level there that felt parental. You know, their dad
does live all the way over in Italy.
So Louis is not for me, but he doesn't have to be for me.
I find him cute.
He's for them.
I find him sweet. I find him like a lovable dum-dum. I think he's perfect for Teresa.
Yes, he's a lovable dum-dum. And I think so is she. And so, and I think the kids, like, you know, Gia still, you know, has always been the smartest one in the family and the most kind of like, we'll see. But, you know, I felt sad for her because watching them move out of that house was heartbreaking these last 2 weeks. The memories of them being in the house, of them sliding down the banister and, you know, all of that was tough. But I do think that this is the right move.
And by the way, that's a gorgeous house they moved into.
Gorgeous house.
Like, we left this like fake Venetian columns, like strangeness.
That house was ginormous. Yes. Do you remember the dogs? Like the big dogs that lived in like a, like what happened to those dogs?
Are they in Italy with Joe?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. But when Teresa, so when we went to, I keep thinking we're down the shore. Like I know we're in Nashville, but every scene was set inside, you know? And I'm like, to me, we're still down the shore.
My sister pointed out like the seasons are changing in the show. I know.
Something felt incredibly off. I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
Because there was snow on the ground as they were driving at one point. Do you remember that?
I don't know, Danielle. I really, really, it was so strange. But when Louis said to Teresa, like, should we wear matching cowboy boots? And she goes, yeah, I like that. I was like, God damn, there's a lid for every pot.
When she was just like, I think I'm going to bring all my cowboy hats. He was like, good idea.
It's just amazing. I like them. I think it's really cute. And I do question, why is Margaret so fucking hell-bent on bringing this stuff up? I don't think Margaret's planting these stories.
I don't think
But I do think it's like, you don't need to get to the bottom of this, sweetie.
And I also think that, like, you're not a good enough friend of Teresa's to worry, so it feels self-serving. Like, again,
yes.
If you're her friend and you're really concerned, that's one thing. But you're not close enough to her that it feels like you are trying to stir the pot and you are trying to yuck her yum. I'm not saying Louis is perfect. I'm not saying, again, I don't, you know, like, he might have a history that is upsetting. That is not for Margaret's.
Yeah.
You know, like, it just feels like you're not her friend, so it doesn't feel like it's coming from a good place.
And she's not weighing it at all. It's like your friend's literally screaming in your face, I want to stay in my love bubble. Like, this is a woman who's been through a lot. Like, the truth will prevail. The truth will come out. It will all happen. Like, whatever's meant to happen. Like, weigh it. Let your friend fucking be happy.
And I also trust Gia more than I trust Marge to have Teresa's best interests in mind. Gia's always been our guiding force.
Yeah, it's all, you know, the news came out that they filmed the reunion and Joe Giudice stormed off because he gets really majorly into it with Gia. And apparently Gia's now completely in the fray. I would not be surprised if Gia becomes a housewife. Like, that's where we're headed.
I'm fine. I trust Gia more than I do Joe. And you're her fucking uncle. You don't get into it with her. You support her. She's still what? People are like, oh, she's an adult. I'm like, but she's still like 20. You're her fucking uncle. That is your job to protect her. Or just don't say anything to get into it with her. I can't imagine.
I disagree. She's... You know,
but she is still a child.
I know,
and
but
still her
dad,
uncle, and he is there to look after her.
Her dad hurt his sister.
I get it, but why are you taking it out on Gia?
Yeah, well,
he doesn't
okay,
have to say
agree
your dad's
to disagree,
a great guy.
But speaking of Joe, Danielle, I don't even tell you this.
Yeah,
what? I've received, and you probably did too. I mean, probably 10 DMs from various. Some inside sources, some pals of the crew, and then a couple people just simply didn't, you know, were offering anecdotes that I have no way of verifying. That we are right. Melissa is the conniving bad apple here, and it's Teresa's that's actually on the right side of the law. That Melissa doesn't show her cards, but that behind all of this has been, and I think we're seeing it. That we've gotten it completely wrong, and that's from some inside sources. Completely wrong.
I think we have. I think, look, when, you know what? When Teresa threw that pink drink on Marge, and because she tried once, yeah. It didn't go on her.
Didn't
so she
take.
Got it again,
didn't take.
Which I thought, I was on Teresa's side.
Wow.
I was, guys.
Wow.
And you know me, I'm usually not. But I am. I'm turning a corner on everybody in New Jersey.
Wow, because I do love Marge. But Marge has a little Candace in her where she'll poke, poke, poke and then be like, your behavior was completely unacceptable. And it's like, sweetie, you poked. You poked.
You poked the bear.
My favorite thing to watch, and I rewound so many times, is to see what everybody else did when Teresa, because that was a wild move, okay? We've got Tiki sitting. We've got Louis up, but like not really restraining Teresa, just like a light hand kind of like, whoa, like watching everyone's. Mm-hmm. I was so attracted to Bill. When Bill Aiden pulled Teresa out while chewing gum. I don't know. I'm liking Bill and Jen right now. What was that safari hat she was wearing? It was like Out of Africa hat she was in.
Bill and Jen, I feel like now that it's getting out in the open, maybe we can get some.
We got our mojo back,
like we were
baby.
All hiding this secret. Now that the secret's out, we can start to heal and start to fool. That's what I
You're right. I think the fucking has started up again.
I think the fucking is starting, man. I think that by opening Pandora's box, we're going to get in Jen's box.
Wow.
That's the way. And it doesn't mean it's over yet. I think they still have so much to do.
Yeah.
But I do think that opening is the answer. You got to get in.
And it seems like Jackie and her husband, this kind of like counseling and stuff. I mean, we really saw some comments I would rather not have seen, but I'm so happy for Jackie.
Me too.
But I don't say this with judgment. I'm asking you. Part of me with her is like, you know, so many housewives, it's like, oh God, why are they doing the show? But with her, it's not like I'm not saying it with judgment. I'm just kind of like, I wonder though if doing the show is making that much harder. Because the element of seeing yourself on camera is really difficult. Now, I've clearly never done anything about that.
I wonder if she never would have come to this honesty without the show.
Okay.
I think because of the show and because of what happened, she went on a downward spiral. She was hiding a lot, I believe.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know. But I believe she was hiding a lot. She was going through the motions of like, I beat my eating disorder, which I don't think is a real thing. I think you just live with. And again, someone please correct me. I might be wrong in this and I don't mean to give any things I don't know about. But
it's like any addiction. It's laying in wait.
Yes.
And
so she was kind of living a life where I beat this thing back.
Yeah.
And she hadn't necessarily, but she was fooling herself and her family that she had. And then when everything went down with Teresa and all that stuff with her husband last year, she started losing weight and she was upsetting, which very upset, which affects her disease. And she lost more weight and she couldn't hide it any longer. And she didn't want to hide it any longer. And she finally cried out for help. And I wonder if the show helped bring that forth.
Okay.
I don't know. But I wonder if the honesty,
you know,
because
it's like Molly Shannon, Danielle, very optimistic viewpoint.
I don't know. I'd like to hope. I'm really rooting for her.
Oh my God.
So
me too. Me too.
Am.
Me too. Me too.
Obviously. Yeah. So
me too.
That's my hope.
Why are all these housewives, Akilah texted us this, like shuffling around to make rooms and beds and areas and for their grown children and their adult ex-husbands, Frank moving in with them. It's the best thing I've ever seen.
Dolores housing a chinchilla what's that, a chinchilla and adult children. Her daughter is a full-fledged veterinarian who can take care of
who
her own
calls
self.
Her dad. Like, she's like always like, hey, Frank.
Why are they calling him Frank? Who, her son, Frank Jr., who has the craziest laugh I've ever heard on a human being. Did we hear him laughing?
Yes.
Because like, I'm so attracted to Frank Jr., but then he was like, hee-hee-hee. I was like, oh, that's a toughie.
But you know what? It keeps him grounded.
It does. Yeah. To have a terrible laugh and be such a hottie really takes away some of the hotness.
I mean,
which I appreciated.
I couldn't believe the producers, God bless them, that they didn't like tackle Teresa when she went back up the stairs. I loved it so much. It was just a great ending, kind of a not as much going on in the ep, but then it really made me laugh when Teresa and Louie went back to the room and she's like, we're going to a hotel. Then they changed into their pajamas and then went.
I know. I thought that too. It's like, why not pack the bags and go?
Louie was in like Calvin Klein briefs.
Just
strange.
Out.
Well.
To, you know, find like an embassy suite somewhere. It's just, you know.
We shall see. Well, not too much on Jersey. We'll see what happens, right?
But it was fun. It was a fun
romp.
Yeah, you know, a romp. Again, the season's ever changing in the episode, but
and they will do Teresa's spinoff wedding like show for with Louis.
Yeah, we're gonna really get in.
Let's take a quick break and come back with OC. We're back. OC, what a snoozeroo.
I'm just not enjoying myself. I have to say, I don't like bear hijinks. I don't like housewives hijinks in general.
But why didn't they get down on all fours to be the bear? They were just literally like walking.
And I don't like that they had to put in sound effects because it would have been even more pathetic without them. And the fact that they just turned around and were like, oh, like it was such a snooze.
When they announced that the bluegrass players are coming out, I was just like, I've never seen an idea so wrong for this group of people.
They were there and they're all like running to and oh. No one's enjoying. Gina's wasted. Gina's whole thing about Noella not knowing her friend was so stupid. I mean, I'm not on Noella's side a lot.
Twat.
But I was just like, I can't.
When Gina was backing up in those stilettos over those like cracks in the, you know what I mean? And like those stones. I'm ready for Gina and Emily to move along. Sorry.
Speaking of, I know I have to go back to New Jersey for a moment because I have to, Gina, when they were going down that stairwell in Frank's house or whoever's house, you know, this is at this point in
probably
New Jersey,
David's.
Dolores' house, unclear, there was no, on the stairwell, it hadn't been built yet, there was no railing. And to have all those animals, I mean, in a house with no railing on a stairwell.
With like, Frank Sr., who like crushes beers like against his head.
I mean, they're going to walk up those stairs one night.
You're right.
And they're going to fall off. And anyway,
I was it's going to be a horrible accident. Anyway. You're right. And we're wrong not to talk about that. Thank you.
Anyway, back to OC.
I'm loving Shannon. At least she's trying to pack a bear costume. Like she's trying to do something.
I know. I honestly, the most interesting thing that happened for me was the chicken salad. I want the recipe.
Me too.
Noella, look.
Oh, God. When she was like screaming near that river, the editors do her so wrong. When they just showed the treetops and her like screaming.
So dirty. Now, is it hard to be on Noella's side sometimes? Yes, it is.
Noella's just, but she's a disaster. Drinking like those drinks so early. It's actually really sad.
And Heather puts her in her place so brutally. Like, you're just like, but I get it because she did accuse Heather of laying hands on someone. And that's not a small thing.
But I bet were that footage to come out, I don't think she laid hands. But I don't think it's a side that Heather wants seen.
I am so curious. How can we get the footage? Is there footage?
Well, it feels does like if she's pushing a cameraman, we got the camera.
What's going on?
Well, we need it. Well, maybe we'll get it like the Pinching Bottoms footage, you know?
Oh, years later.
Yeah.
Years later.
I think it was an explosively bad scene where she was behaving very poorly. And I think Noella's like, hey, I've got your number. Like, we have heard that again, could be totally wrong, but that she's like universally reviled by the crew.
I also think, you know, we talk a lot about housewives, like some living their truths and some trying to constantly cover up the truth. And Heather is one of those people that is constantly, I think, trying to portray an image.
Yeah, she's always trying to control everyone. When she was in bed with Gina and Emily, she's like, okay, tomorrow, let's not have any drama. Like, you guys stick up for me. If anyone, you know, it's just like, ugh.
You can't. So, and that, when I find when a housewife tries to, the more you try and, you know, tamp something down, the more it's going to come out. And so. And Heather is such a control freak with her image and with everything. There's something there, but Noella is such an asshole too. It's like, you know, and I know she's going through a lot. And her father did pass, and that
is a famous
tough.
Weather person. I didn't know.
I didn't know that either. Someone sent us. Oh, was it Deanna that sent us? Somebody sent us.
I saw it online. Noella is just, it's too dark for me. I think it's like sucking all the energy out of season.
Nobody's getting along in any fun way. But there's also
like a Kelly Dodd is an explosive firecracker in a like obviously unhinged, completely crazy way. But I'm not worried about her on a level that's like the way with Noella. I'm like, something is so wrong. Like Kelly Dodd is just a like insufferable human being.
Yes.
But Noella, it's like, it's so dark.
And I'm also worried.
And I'm also not worried about her. Like, it's both. I don't want it, you know?
Yeah. No, I get it. I don't want to worry about Noella.
It was a really funny package when Emily pointed out that Jen just parrots back everything Heather says. That made me laugh.
Jen is unwatchable. Sorry. Jen is unwatchable.
I know. So when I put the lot of them together, I'm like, okay, Emily and Gina, I know everyone's like, we love them. But I'm like, we're making do with them because they're nice girls and we've got them. Great. Then we've got Heather over here. Okay. Then we've got Noella. Then we've got Shannon, who is still my queen. And then over here, we got Jen. And what do we have? It's snoozeroony.
Yeah, it's not nothing, you know, I'm not excited about the reunion.
I think we're okay to hang up our hats with OC. I really do.
I think, you know, it's where it started, but it doesn't, you know, maybe
let's get out to Dubai. We gotta get going.
We cannot fucking wait.
I need my Potomac. I need my Dubai, having never seen it. I need
Atlanta's
Beverly Hills.
Marlo has a peach. Like, we've got stuff in the can. Let's get
there. Just like other places I need to start putting my energy, you know? And some friendships just don't go the distance, and that's what's feeling like.
And sometimes they're our first friends.
That's right. We grew up together.
But we wouldn't choose each other now. No, and that's okay.
Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you, Casey.
It was really fun.
Say it. Thank you. I have a new understanding of being grateful now for Molly Shannon. I want to thank you.
And I'm just throwing out there, I'm on one of my favorite shows, Better Things, this week, playing what can only be described as a Karen. I'm now only being cast exclusively as moms and Karens. I love that show. Pamela Adlon is a genius. It's a great show.
I'm glad that you're coming into that part of your life.
Thank you.
Yeah. Being cast as Karen.
It definitely feels in my wheelhouse, unfortunately. Well, love to you all.
Yes. Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Amelia. Thank you, Earwolf.
Thanks, Danielle. Thank you all for listening. And I hope you don't judge my story at the beginning. Love you all.